So we continue our series on the Sabbath, and today it's worship on the Sabbath. So growing up in a very strict Christian home meant that Sunday was filled with church. My earliest memory was in Kenya as a boy, going to church in the morning and the evening. And as a little one, I certainly didn't mind, because in the morning was Sunday school. I enjoyed Sunday school, learned lots of things. And in the evening, we took crayons and paper to draw in the evening service. Anybody else have those kind of memories? Were you? Yeah, Helen. Yeah, a few of us, we'd go both morning and night. Coming back to England, the pattern continued. And aged about seven, I joined Crusaders, now Urban Saints, which was Sunday afternoon. So effectively, I had church Sunday morning, noon and night. And Sunday was a day when you weren't allowed to do anything, and some of you will remember that. It was the Sabbath, after all, and that meant it keeping it holy. For those who didn't go to church, well, there was nothing open, so it was boring, apparently. I never experienced that because I was at church all day. In my mid-teens, I found endless church on Sundays so disagreeable that one day I just didn't get up, and I didn't go to church, and I dropped Crusaders. And I vowed I'd never darken the door of a church again. Well, that went well. So fast forward to 2025, and Sunday has long since disappeared as a distinct day in the UK. Everything is open, and for those who aren't working, it's a day of leisure. As Christians, this day of leisure has crept into our lives as well. If you watch the video associated with this summer series, and it is worth going to have a look at that, by the way, the speaker talks about getting home after church, if we make it to church in the first place, getting on with chores, preparing work for Monday, going shopping, pursue a leisure activity or two, etc., etc. Does that ring any bells with anybody? Of course, there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but they can have the effect of crowding God out on his day. Instead of Sabbath, we've got to use to something called Sabbish. So it's Sabbath-ish. It's a leisure day with church thrown in, if you like. And we learned in the first talk in the series that Sabbath was made for us. It was made for us to rest. And if we're busy as on Sunday as any other day, it won't do us any good either physically or mentally. And in the first of the readings, which is the fourth commandment, God gives these special instructions. If you've got your Bibles, you can see it there. I don't remember the page number, but it's in the Old Testament bit. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and work, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, to the Lord your God, you shall not do any work. You, your sons or your daughters, your servants, and unfortunately had slaves in those days, they weren't allowed to do any work either. The livestock weren't allowed to do any work. And anybody who was visiting or alien resident, those who were perhaps foreigners in that culture of the time. So everybody had the day off. So it was a rest for those who served as well. It wasn't just those who were in charge. Everybody had a day off. Of course, during Jesus' time on earth, the Pharisees, of course, took things to an extreme level. And there were 39 extra rules about what constituted work on Sabbath. I think, Helen, you talked about the number of rules added by the Pharisees. And there's a couple of cracking examples of what you couldn't do on the Sabbath. The first is, you couldn't spit on the Sabbath because it would disturb the dirt and you'd be guilty of ploughing. You could not swat a fly on the Sabbath because you'd be guilty of hunting. Amusing to us, perhaps, but if you were under those laws, life was pretty difficult as a devout Jew. And Jesus came into conflict on this very issue when he and his disciples, being hungry, picked some wheat, and they were castigated by the Pharisees. And then, of course, he healed a man on the Sabbath. What a disgrace to heal somebody. Of course, Jesus retorted, it's better to do a good thing on the Sabbath rather than nothing at all. There was an element of this kind of legalism which defined my early experience of church and quite frankly put me off. And like the Pharisaic approach, it missed the point. The point is the Sabbath or the Sunday for us Christians, within the context of those who have to work on a Sunday, is a holy day. Holy means set apart. It's set apart for God. for us to enjoy his presence. And it's different from Monday to Saturday, despite the fact that the world goes round and round and everything's open and the cars and the busyness and the motorways and everything's frenetic. For Christians, it's going to be different for us. So how do we find that balance between excessive legalism and Sunday just being another leisure day? Well, to begin with, it's a day which is set aside for God, for us to contemplate on what he's done for us and to be more intentional about being in his presence. And it really is, it's a shift of paradigm. It's a change of attitude of mind than what we actually do in the day. We all have our way of relating to God in different ways, of being with him. So it may be spending some time, and I've just got some examples here of what you might do on the Sabbath. You might spend a little bit more time in prayer and contemplation. You may spend some time, more time, reading the Bible or a Christian book. You might like to listen to some worship music or watch something online that's going to encourage us in our faith. Going for a walk and being God's creation. How many people enjoy that? Gardening. Surprisingly, the other day I was watching A Gardener's World. Something must be going wrong when I'm watching Gardener's World. I must be getting old or something. But actually, it was quite fascinating. And one of the things that struck me was this beautiful dragonfly. And the wings were just exquisite, and the body and the colour. I thought, wow, God created that tiny little creature so beautifully, and it made me think about God. I know some of us here enjoy being in the garden. They enjoy perhaps doing some art, thinking about God when we're doing some art. But basically, invite God into everything we do on a Sunday. Here's a simple prayer. Dear God, be in everything I do this day. How simple is that? And you'll be surprised how your day changes. Find what works for you. Some years ago, I was speaking with Sister Pauline Hillier, and some of you who have been here a long time will remember her. And she was quite a character, and I used to go to her for sort of TLC, really. And I was saying to Pauline, I really struggle with prayer. You know, I've got the sort of attention span of a gnat. And I sit there in prayer, and my head's going all over the place, and I'm going to work. And I said, but when I play my guitar, I feel as though I'm connecting with God and I'm playing and I... He said, well, do that then. Quite simple, do that then. So actually, I enjoy playing worship songs on my guitar and I play viola on worship songs. So you might have something that is special for you. Maybe an instrument, it may be some art, it may be just sitting there and just contemplating. So also on a Sabbath, being with other Christians is so important. Fellowship is a vital part of our spiritual health as we worship and learn together. And church provides one other day in the week when we can meet together, worship and learning together. And I do include you online as well. You are joined, those who are online and watching this today. You're part of the fellowship. You're in fellowship with us today. It's often been said that going to church on a Sunday is like filling your car with fuel, or today, battery power, for your onward journey. Has anybody here ever run out of petrol or battery? Oh, yeah, one or two. I've been close, but never that much. It's awful, isn't it? I've seen people on the motorway with no fuel in their car. And that can be like for us. If we don't engage on a Sunday, if we don't come to a place of worship or listen online or have fellowship in some way, then we will run out of batteries. At church, we often have communion. We have it every 2 weeks here. I was talking to someone the other day about it. How often do you have communion? Is it something that happens all the time? I said, well, in the olden days when we had two services, there would be communion every week. But we have communion every other week. And today we've got communion. And we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's really special. It's a really special moment for us. And of course, he commanded us to do this in remembrance of him. This is not a solitary activity. To have communion, we have communion together. So it's really important that we do gather. Very, very important indeed. Some years ago, former vicar Ray Brazier, again, some of you will know, spoke on the importance of being in church. He said something along the lines of, in past times, people would come to church in the morning and the evening, my experience. Then they came each week, either the morning or the evening. And then it was every other week. And then it was once a month. Then it was high days and holy days. And then it wasn't at all. No, he wasn't telling anybody off. He was just pointing out that when we get out of the habit, we're more likely to drift. For some people, it's more difficult to get here every week. They come when they can. But the important things we do try and gather whenever possible in God's house on a Sabbath. And connected with this is the opportunity to spend more time with God's family. Us. Lovely. You all look so lovely this morning. And online. I can't see you, but you are lovely. It's an opportunity for us, beyond the service, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to care for one another. Who enjoys coffee after the service? Sorry about those online. Who enjoys coffee afterwards? No? Oh, no, there's not many hands going up. What about the bring and share meals? They're always good, aren't they? This is an opportunity where we can get to know each other better and build deeper relationships. Perhaps we can extend this to inviting someone from church to a meal or a cup of tea after the service, or meet in a cafe and continue to enjoy each other's presence. I must stress this, having come from my background, most of all, it's not a day to be legalistic and joyless. Not legalistic, not joyless. It's got to be a day of joy. It's a day to experience the joy of God's presence with us. Fine, in the second reading, our lives are to be an act of worship. It doesn't stop on a Sunday. And Paul writes to the Romans about how Christians need to be living day to day, not just on the Sabbath. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So each day is your spiritual worship. That's quite radical, really, isn't it? Not just on Sunday for an hour and a half or whatever it is, 2 hours if we have coffee afterwards. Every day. As Christians, there are many pulls on us in the world. And it's easy to displace God in our daily lives. It could be career, family, leisure pursuits, a whole host of activities that give us pleasure and fulfillment. Don't get me wrong, these aren't bad things at all. They're great things. But if they topple God from loving him with our whole heart and our whole soul, then our faith will suffer. God has to be number one in our lives as Christians. And it's very hard. The noise. We do enjoy stuff. We do enjoy stuff. We enjoy meeting friends. We enjoy our pursuits. We enjoy family. They're great. But in our lives, it's loving God first and then others as ourselves. And what we gain on our Sunday worship will enable us to live out our lives as Christians for the rest of the week. The prayer after communion, which we're going to say later on, I just checked with Juliet there. We say this together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Strengthen us in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Now you know where that phrase came. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. It's Romans, okay? So now you know. I love the liturgy. It's full of the Bible. And that's where that one comes from. And there's a few questions. We're just going to have a little time to think about this morning. In what ways is it easy for your practice of Sabbath to become sabbish? Sabbath-ish. More a day off than a day of worship. So there's one question. How do you enjoy God? So those are the things I was talking about. I like playing guitar, playing the viola, playing some worship music. How do you enjoy God? What things are special for you between you and God? What false gods are you tempted to worship? So those are all the other things that crowd Jesus and God out of your lives. So have a couple of moments just to think about. You might want to write some things that get in the way. Things you enjoy with God, walking with him, and the ways that we can end up having a sabbish. Have a few moments just to think about those questions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you designed a Sabbath for us to worship you. And may our lives be continually at worship of you. In Jesus' name, amen.